Grace and peace to you, and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com with another study on the purpose of the wife. This is part three. In our last two studies, we learned that the woman was created for the man to love, serve, and obey him. Then we focused on 1 Peter 3, verse 6, which says, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement." With Sarah's obedience to Abraham being the example for how all Christian wives should obey their husbands, we went back to the time of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis chapter 12 to begin to see just how Sarah obeyed her husband. What we found was that when Abraham and Sarah went down to Egypt because the famine was so severe in the land of Canaan, Abraham told Sarah to say that she was his sister so that they would not kill him for his wife, for Sarah was beautiful in appearance. And Abram feared that the Egyptians would kill him to have his wife. So Sarah obeyed Abraham, her husband, and told the Egyptians she was his sister, since she actually was his half-sister, Genesis 20:12. And she obeyed even though she had no idea what the Egyptians might do to her, whether they would rape her, abuse her, kill her, treat her well, or treat her bad, or what? So even when her own life was possibly at stake, Sarah still obeyed her husband, and she called her husband Lord, 1 Peter 3:6. Thus, we learned that Christian wives should be willing to obey their husbands, trusting in Christ as if her husband were Jesus Christ himself, even if it looks like their lives might be at stake by obeying their husbands. God is here obviously driving home the point that wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands in everything. Ephesians 5:24 and 1 Peter 3 verse 1. Even if it might mean the worst of possible circumstances. Yet, one might argue that Sarah was obedient in that one particular situation, but that doesn't mean that she always obeyed her husband. So, let's look at another similar situation that came upon Sarah to see if she obeyed her husband once again. And by doing so, we must conclude that she was consistently obedient to her husband. We read of this account in Genesis chapter 20. There we read, beginning in verse 1 through verse 3, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.'" So once again, Sarah obeyed her husband by telling the king and his people that she was Abraham's sister and not his wife, because Abraham told her to so speak, because he feared for his own life, thinking that they would kill him to have his beautiful wife if Sarah said that she was his wife. But Sarah, on the other hand, trusted in Yahweh and obeyed Abraham even though she had no idea whether she would be raped, killed, treated well, or treated bad, or whatever. She simply knew that it was her position to obey her husband in all things. So she said, "And she was taken into the house of Abimelech." the king to become his wife. But Yahweh would not let Abimelech touch Sarah, as God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." So the result of Sarah's faith and obedience to her husband was that Yahweh protected her. We read more fully about the protection of Yahweh from Sarah's obedience, for Sarah's obedience, that is, in verses 5 through 13, which state, "But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, 'Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this.' And God said unto him in a dream, 'Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.' Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, 'What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done.' And Abimelech said unto Abraham, 'What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?' And Abraham said, 'Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother.' Thus, by Sarah obeying her husband to say that she was Abraham's sister and not his wife, so that she was taken into the king's house to become the king's wife, God protected Sarah by restraining the sin of the king so that he would not touch her. The king tried to take credit for not sinning when he said, 'Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she even herself said, He is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this.'" Verses 4 through 5. But God came to the king in a dream to make it clear that it was not because of the king's righteousness whereby he did not touch Sarah, but it was because of Yahweh's righteousness who kept the king from sinning. For Yahweh said to him, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." Oh, how mankind is so quick to think that they are righteous in their own deeds, when the truth is that God has restrained the sins of mankind, which has made them think they are more righteous than they are. Nevertheless, mankind, like King Abimelech, will not give the credit to God in humility, but they want to think that they are good in themselves. The result being that when God removes his restraint from sin, like he is now doing during Judgment Day ever since May 21, 2011, people marvel as they wonder how, for instance, their own governments can be so evil as to release a bioweapon virus and a bioweapon vaccine to murder millions. Well, if they read their Bibles, they would understand, for the Word of God says in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And Jeremiah says in chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And again, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But getting back to Sarah's example of obedience, we see that through her obedience to her husband, she was protected from any harm. Yet, what would have happened if she disobeyed her husband and said that she was Abraham's wife instead of saying that she was his sister? Well, it is reasonable to assume that they would have killed Abraham for his beautiful wife, which is what Abraham feared. And then they would have taken Sarah into the king's house, and she would have been forced to become the king's wife. So not only would she have had to endure the murdering of her husband, but then she would have also been forced into relations with a strange man against her will. The point I'm trying to make is that Sarah's obedience to her husband, Abraham, brought protection to both her and her husband. But if she would have disobeyed her husband, it could have brought disaster to them both. Is disaster that which defines your marriage relationship? Are you disobeying your husband for some reason or in some area, and this is causing disaster in your marriage because it is causing you to lose God's protection from the evil spiritual powers around you so that your marriage is being attacked and destroyed? Then you need to be in submission to your husband. Disobedience to God in any area of our lives opens the door for attack from the evil forces and powers, and they will do anything they can to destroy your life and make you sin. But when we are in obedience to Christ, we are protected. Sarah was obedient to her husband, calling him Lord. And this not only protected Sarah from any harm, but it also protected her husband from any harm. So you wives wield a lot of power. You can either protect yourself and your husband by submission to him, or you can destroy both yourself and your husband by lack of submission to him. Make sure that it is not causing the problems in your marriage by disobeying your husband. For God has granted you a lot of power in your position as the wife, but that power is not in usurping authority over your husband or arguing with him. It is through submission to him, both in mind, spirit, and body. By this alone, you can either make or break your marriage. Bring about protection or bring about disaster to you both. And not only does your submission to your husband and everything bring about protection for you both, it also brings about blessings as well. Let's read further in our story to see all the blessings that came from Sarah's submission to her husband. We read, starting in verse 14, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have taken my brother, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Look at all the blessings that Sarah received due to her obedience to her husband. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Verses 14 through 17. So, Sarah was not only restored to her husband, but her husband was given livestock for their food needs and servants that could make their lives a lot easier. Money that could be spent, at least in part, on Sarah, and they were permitted to live anywhere on Abimelech's land. Now, I'm not saying that if a wife obeys her husband that she's going to necessarily be enriched materially, which he could, if that is what is needed. The Lord could provide in that way. But I'm certain that God will enrich you spiritually. For what do we read in Acts 5:32? And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. God is not here teaching that he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him, but it literally says that God gave the Holy Spirit to the ones obeying him. More precisely, God had already given the Holy Spirit at some point in the past to the ones who are presently obeying him. So, the Holy Spirit does not come because of your obedience, but your consistent obedience comes by already having the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have already been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Therefore, when you are obeying Christ, you can have a greater sense of these spiritual blessings, because as you obey him, you know it is due to all the spiritual blessings already granted you. Furthermore, consistent obedience to the commands of Christ can give us assurance of our salvation. For we read in 1 John 2:3, And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And if we know him, then we have assurance of our salvation by him. Well, before ending this study, let's look more closely at 1 Peter 3:6, which says once again, Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. A more literal translation reads like this, Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you did become, as long as doing good and not fearing any terror. In other words, wives are being exhorted to obey their husbands as Sarah did, calling him Lord, and to not fear any terror. Now, why would God tell wives not to fear with any terror in the context of obeying their husbands? Remember Sarah? She obeyed her husband even when her life could have been at stake. She did not fear with any terror that by obeying her husband, her life would be harmed in some way. Even though Sarah could have been raped, she could have been killed, treated bad, or whatever, she still obeyed her husband without letting fear or terror for her life keep her from obedience. And this was true in both the cases we looked at, first in Genesis 12 in our last study, and then in Genesis 20 in this study. Indeed, God shows that she obeyed Abraham in two fearful situations to reveal that Sarah was obedient to her husband consistently and in all things without any terror that she might be harmed by doing so. So, what God is teaching wives is that there is no situation that by obeying their husbands, they should be in terror or fear for their lives. In fact, we saw that when Sarah obeyed her husband in such a situation, Yahweh protected both her and her husband, and then blessed them both for Sarah's obedience, both to God and her husband. Do you think that God would do any less for you? Of course not. And wives, don't think that you are a doormat to obey your husbands in all things. No, rather, think of your obedience as the power to protect and bless your marriage and life. And we should all, both husband and wife, put into practice what Christ taught in Mark 10 and Mark 9. We read in Mark 9, verse 35, "And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And again, we read in Mark 10, verse 44, "And whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all." We might put it this way. Wives, if you want power and control over you and your husbands to be protected and blessed by God, then submit to your husbands. You have the power, but it is through submission and not through argumentation and strife with your husband. In all things, in mind, body, and spirit, look to be in obedience to your husbands without any fear, and you will be protected and blessed, if not by your earthly husband, then certainly by your heavenly husband, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.